best way to hire.
It's time for some straight talk. Look, we all drop our phones. It happens. You fumble it, crack it, splash it. Well, Straight Talk Wireless now offers this new Platinum Unlimited plan that includes phone protection. Just $65 a month for unlimited talk, text, and data, plus 20 gigs of hotspot, 100 gigs of cloud storage, and more. All on the best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See Mobile Protect terms and conditions at Asurion.com/straighttalk. Limitations and exclusions apply.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hi, I'm Casey Gisclair.
And I'm Stan Gravois.
Join us every Saturday right here for the Sports Corner.
High school, college, and national sports.
Coaches and call-ins. And your take on our opinions in the world of sports.
So join us every Saturday from 10 to noon.
Right here on the Sports Corner, presented by TGMC Community Sports Institute.
10 to noon.
On ESPN 100.3.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, y'all. 800-998-1003. If you'd like to chime into the conversation, Ross Jackson, John DeShazer, this hour, hour two, completely open. I want your opinions, Saints fans. Head coach Sean Payton just wrapped up his end of the season presser. We'll play more of what he had to say as Jordan just wrapped that up. You cut it all? You done? You good?
Yes, everything is cut.
Thank you so much for that. I appreciate
that. You're welcome.
Breaking news, which might be a good thing for the Saints.
Yeah, hopefully another coach isn't being poached from the Saints because the Eagles are hiring Colts offensive coordinator Nick Sirian as their head coach, sources tell ESPN.
Who?
Did I say that wrong?
You missed a couple of vowels. You called him Sirian.
Sirianni. Sirianni, yeah, my apologies.
Sirianni.
Sorry,
you have to do that?
I've had my head stuck into a computer the past hour.
You have. You know what? I'm going to say this and we're going to get to Sean, I promise, but I do got to give you credit. What started yesterday, buddy?
What started? Oh.
What started yesterday for you?
Yeah, well, sister's out the house.
Oh, no. I was talking about, you said school started, right?
Oh, yes.
Didn't you say the 20th?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Huh. How's that going so far? Day one?
Oh, it was long. Wake up at 7, go all the way to Hammond, come all the way
here. I'm not laughing at you. I'm just, literally, it's like, now I know you're back in. Like, the first text I got from you today was,
It looked like I was at a crime scene this morning in class.
Why was there caution tape? I'm confused right now.
Telling me where to sit.
COVID restrictions.
Yeah, it was
so
like
you were like in a classroom.
Yes.
Did you ever wear a mask?
We have to wear a mask.
How many people were there?
Apparently, it was like more than that class had more people in it than usual.
So. I didn't know if you knew this, but Clubber Lang, I reached out to him. His thoughts on what your semester was going to look like where you got a 17 last year. See if you're going to top
it. I still
it
passed
year.
It.
Somehow you passed it, but he did predict this for you this semester.
What's your prediction for the fight then?
Prediction?
Yes, prediction. Pain.
Weren't you taking like a math this?
No math this semester.
No?
I finished with math last semester.
What's your classes this semester? Come on, got to get the show. What is it?
Comm classes and a mythology class.
A mythology class.
It's a mythology class.
So everything else is communication.
Yes.
How many classes in total?
I have 15 hours, so what? Five classes.
Okay. So four comms, one mythology.
Yes.
That's your load.
Yes. I have to be in class in person.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Right. I'm just throwing this out there because we may not see you on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Well, no, you'll see me on Thursdays.
Well, may. Okay, well, we don't know.
Maybe.
We don't know. Right.
Because I did find out that I'm going to have to do stuff outside of class for this.
Tomorrow
this
when
class.
We call Raphael, I want early bet. I'm going to see if he can throw out a prop bet. A, B, C, D, or F. Mythology.
Hey.
I'm not too worried about that one. I've heard a lot of easy things about that class.
Is it Greek mythology or is it just mythology overall in the world? It's specifically called Greek mythology.
Yes.
Good luck.
And when I open up
good luck with
my
that.
Moodle, uh-huh. It's just the picture of my teacher.
This is what we're doing.
When's
your first class in mythology?
It already started because it's on online class.
Uh-huh. Have you opened it up yet is what I'm asking.
Oh yeah, I've opened up the page. And like looked at my syllabus.
Okay, so you've looked at it already.
Yes.
Okay, I'm giving our listeners homework. Okay? It's Greek mythology. You have all day today and tonight.
I didn't say Greek, it just says mythology.
Okay, well, I asked you. Okay, so mythology. We're going to come up with either a Greek. I like just Greek better because there's so many different names, right? There's gods, there's, you know, all kinds of different things we can do here. What would be your name? Somebody come up with Jordan's mythological name.
Okay, it's
I'm going with Icarus already.
Greek and Roman mythology.
Oh, Greek and Roman mythology. Okay. Sports Hangover listeners, you have today, tonight. Tomorrow, I want Jordan's mythological name. I'm going with Icarus. I'm putting that
Icarus.
Down. Icarus. I'm going with Icarus. Look it up.
Guess I'll find out in class.
You will find out. I'm going with Icarus. Boy. That's yours. Why don't you Google Icarus, and then at the end of the next break, you can come back and you can tell me who Icarus is. Because that's how you find out things, right? Through Google? Isn't that how you do it?
Yes. For most things.
Once again, my prediction for this class for you, because I've taken mythology. It's not easy. There it is. Icarus is my... Come back and tell me why his wings melted.
Oh, I know who that is.
Tell me
why. He tried to escape the labyrinth of the
got a little too close to the sun there.
Isn't that when they were stuck in the maze?
Well, you know what? I want to report on Icarus tomorrow.
I know who Icarus is.
I want to report on Icarus tomorrow. Okay.
Was it him and his dad in the labyrinth. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get out from the Minotaur and you gotta fly.
Yeah.
Don't go too close to the sun. Mm-hmm. Wax.
Didn't listen.
Put together the wax on their feathers.
Mm-hmm.
He melted and he fell to his death.
It's an interesting lineage though with Icarus. So you know what? Tomorrow.
No, I already got enough homework to do. I'm not doing any of your homework.
No, yeah. You won't take my homework?
Nope. I don't need a six.
I'm very interested in what like Jack, Cajun Goats,
guess what?
The Bima. There's some people that have listened to the show for a while. They're learned. They're studied up. They've been around Roman and Greek mythology. I'd love to hear some possible mythological names for you. That'd be great. 800-998-1003. We'll hear from head coach Sean Payton here in a quick second. Randy, what you got for us, sir?
Hey, Gus, I listen every day, man. Every single day. I just call him Trubisky.
Trubiscius. I like that. I like it. Trubiscius. You got to make it mythological. So Trubiscius. But what will he be known for? False hope. What about false hope? The god of false hope.
MVP.
Trubiscius.
Yes.
Yes. Trubiscius is the individual in Greek lore that thought he could fly, so jumped off a cliff, but he didn't have wings. He's the guy that thought he could be Trident, you know, and went down in the water, Aquaman or whatever he is, and then but you know he didn't have gills, so he drowned. Yes, Trubiscius, I like that.
Hey, how about this one? I just thought about it today, man. So what about Jimmy Garoppolo coming to the Saints? And I think that would be something people would eat up with him having to play Tom Brady twice a year.
Jimmy G, that's interesting. There's belief over there in San Francisco that's not exactly a marriage for a while. Look, quite honestly, I'm interested if they make a play for Matt Ryan. Shanahan and Noodle Arm were, you know, as we all know, 28-3 away from winning a Super Bowl. And if they're healthy, that's a good team. And you just kind of need somebody to make the right decisions over there. It would make sense. I think Atlanta is going to probably move on from Matt, maybe even from Julio, to be honest with you. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens over there. But he could be available. But what did you think about when you heard Sean Payton speak the way he did about Hill and Winston?
I've just kind of, over time, I've just kind of like tuned that out because that's all we get from Sean, you know, so I just kind of like tuned that out. So, I've heard him talk about Hill, and Steve Young. So, you know, I'm through with the Taysom Hill. Now I am open to Jameis Winston, but that's only if we can't find a quarterback that, you know, we can afford that's not going to get us to a Super Bowl. But, you know, how I'm looking at it as Gus is, if we're not competing for a Super Bowl, then we might as well be rebuilding, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
Well, let me ask you this, Randy, because I keep referring to it, and I know Brian said reloading, and I call it kind of renovating. I call it renovating from this aspect of it. Like in renovations with the house, it's going to cost you a little bit. It's going to bring you some headaches, a little pain every now and then.
Right.
But in the long term, sustainability, increasing the value of your home, things of that nature, right? So I'm looking at it from renovations. Now, is it going to be a kitchen or a bathroom remodel? I mean, because those two cost you the most in your house, and they're going to be your biggest pains in the neck if you're kind of renovating. And that's why I think what the Saints are when you compare salary cap, what players do I keep, what players do I need to improve on. And then, of course, it is an unknown. I can love Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston all I want if I'm Sean. I don't know what I have because, again, I go back to that game against Denver and I go back to how Sean used Taysom. And if you had completely free will or belief that he could do all that, you'd have opened it up. So, and yet we haven't seen it, right? We haven't seen, but maybe that Eagles game where Hill was stressed, where Hill had to do a comeback, where Hill had to do that. Now, in the last minute and a half, the offense moved the ball down the field. He scored a touchdown. You know, take that for what it's worth. But he had turnovers, had things like that. Winston, we have zero idea what he can do with this offense. You know, I don't know. So it's going to be interesting, right?
Well, I think I would have liked to see what Sean would have done with Taysom against Tampa if he was available last week. Because, you know, I would like to see if he would have used Taysom in the second half when it was still a game, maybe while we had a lead, how much confidence did he have in Taysom, and would he have let Taysom throw the ball down the field?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you would have seen, you know, kind of what trust you had in Taysom maybe in the Tampa game.
Mm-hmm.
But I was kind of surprised that he didn't put Jameis in the second half when it was evident that, you know, Drew Brees wasn't going to stretch the field, and I know the wide receivers weren't getting open, but, I mean, was you not sitting there on your couch, you know, saying or thinking, man, just put Jameis in. Just put him in. Let's see what happens. You wasn't thinking that, Gus?
I honestly, again, and I said this a little bit earlier, I wasn't, Randy, from this standpoint where I didn't feel or think that it was just Drew at the time. Because again, I thank you for the Beamer for bringing this up. I said Ben Watson, Jared Cook, the throw to Cook. Look, the Saints were moving the football. That like, I didn't feel like the first two drives in which they set up for field goals, you know, Drew couldn't complete a pass inside the five. I mean, his inability to push the ball down the field is a factor, but it's been a factor all season. It's been a factor every time he plays. I mean, you can see it, right? And it's why Troy Aikman said at the beginning of the broadcast and others, the Saints are more of a running football team now. They have to be. And it was something that was very interesting. Forgot who it was yesterday, Jordan, because again, I'm old now and I can't think. But somebody brought up the fact that when they needed a big play, Sean Payton went to the run, went to Kamara, you know? So yes, it's a factor of him not doing that. But again, I go back to the aspect of the mental capability. Drew has shown time and time again, he didn't on Sunday, made mistakes. Brian brought up a point that Baldy broke down, some things that Drew normally never does but did. He had a bad game. But let's be honest, if we put it in a lineup or we put it in a poll question for people to be able to vote on, who do you trust more in a playoff game in this offense, and you list the three quarterbacks on the roster, no one's not picking Drew Brees the most. So, you know, I think a lot of you wanted another quarterback in maybe without even thinking about it is because of what Brittany said or the result at the end of the day. But again, one interception to Kamara, that was just a misread. The Watson one probably shouldn't have gone there trying to make a play. So I if two of those three picks, Randy, would have been a 10-yard out and that ball never got there and it was an easy interception. If the ball fluttered on a crossing route or on a slant and didn't look like it could get there, if there was an open receiver, right, Traquan, or not the one that Jameis threw, but another one. And, you know, I mean, the touchdown to Traquan Smith in the corner, which he caught with one arm like that, that was a beautiful throw with accuracy. So,
yeah, you're right. That was a really good
pass. It was a beautiful throw. I mean,
yeah. And see, that's the thing when you get older, like you said the other day, it's still there from time to time.
But not as often,
just not consistent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So, and so
I can give you about 3 minutes in horse. And then after a while, my knees start. Right? I mean, you know what I'm saying, Randy? So, I could be a spot up shooter right now in a game if we're run up and down full court. But man, I'm out. Time to sub me out here in about 2 minutes, man. And I'm going to feel it tomorrow. You know, if I do it a few more times, I might be able to play a little bit longer. But yeah, that's what happens when you're in your 40s.
And look, Tom Brady didn't do anything that blew me away. I mean, we gave him the game, giving him short fields.
Well, he gave him short fields, but I'll say this. I mean, look, yes, it was the opposing team. But, dude, he's still got that zip on that ball, man, you know?
Oh, sure. Yeah, for sure. He can push it downfield. And I'm going to end it with this. If Drew Brees comes and he says, hey, I want to come back next season.
Uh-oh.
Do you have Drew back next season? Do you want him back next season?
I think you say, Drew, I hear you, my man. But why don't you sit down, let's put on the tape. And I'm going to show him instances of, you know what, it's time to hang him up. Thank you, Randy. Appreciate the phone call, my friend.
All right, Gus.
Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints, is next on ESPN New Orleans.
Business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengill from Men's Total Health, and last year I paid them a visit at the clinic. It's in Metairie on Vets behind the Fidelity Building on Ferran. I went to get tested and see if I had low T and to get an overall look at my health. Low T can cause insomnia, brain fog, and overall self-confidence issues. Go get tested. On-site labs give you the results that visit. So with the new year, resolve to get back to being the old you. Hormone balance can help you be your best self. They accept all major insurances, so visit menstotalhealth.net today and let them know the Sports Hangover sent you.
As a leader in the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to oil field clients, offering vacuum truck service for offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Their rental department offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings for easy maneuvering, also holding tank rentals and portable hand-washing stations. So call Joe Septic Contractors 24-7 at 985-632-5592 in Cutoff, Thibodaux, Fouchon, and Abbeville, or visit their website at joeseptic@viscom.net.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medication. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. We'll hear more from head coach Sean Payton following our interview with John DeShazer next at the bottom of the hour. We speak with Ross Jackson now, and then all third hour, 2 o'clock hour, no guest, just Sean and your thoughts on what Coach Payton says here in his final season press conference. I hate saying that, Ross Jackson from Locked On Saints. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing all right. Yeah, I hate hearing that, too. Would love to be talking about these Saints moving on to the NFC Championship game next weekend. But unfortunately, you know, we're in a different situation. And so here we are. But lots of good nuggets from that end-of-year press conference there.
At Ross Jackson Knowles, a way to follow on Twitter. I want to get your thoughts on what Sean had to say. But first, let's go back to Sunday. A lot of focus has been obviously on Drew, and I just was speaking with Randy on the phone who called in, and you know, and I don't think he's alone. I think a lot of people say, well, you know, once you see what Brittany Instagrammed, hey, maybe we should have gone to Jameis because obviously Taysom Hill was hurt, but I don't know. I didn't feel, again, I keep going back to the fumble by Cook. You're up 7, could have been up 10, maybe 14. I didn't feel at that point Drew's arm or injuries was inhibiting me. After that fumble, the two picks that followed, a miscommunication, maybe perhaps a bad ball placement into coverage when he was going to watch it. I don't know. Maybe I'm giving him benefit of that. What did you think? Do you think Drew Brees cost the Saints that game?
No. I agree with you. I mean, I think you have to understand that when you look at the issues that they had earlier on in the game with their inability to score in the red zone, we knew that the red zone and short yardage game were going to be hindered without Taysom Hill as well as without Latavius Murray. So that was just the point at which the execution wasn't necessarily there. I didn't see anything that Drew Brees did or didn't or wasn't able to do in the red zone situations at the beginning of the game where we're not talking about him extending the field at all. That, you know, caused any issues for them there, which I think was a huge sort of kick in the gut for them early on that came back to bite them later. And then, like you mentioned, the fumble was outside of his, you know, that was a great drive they were putting together that was kind of outside of his control. And then the two interceptions at the end, the miscommunication as well as like you mentioned, you know, not necessarily a great ball placement, but we also saw a couple of different elements of that and that ball to Cook that was just simply, you're just trying to make something happen at that point. And it's not the same thing that we're talking about at the beginning of the game and to the end of the game. And I think that a lot of those other injuries that, you know, were mentioned, you saw the greater effects of those injuries early on in the season. Timeline and things like that have to be taken into consideration with all of this. Not that a rotator cuff is going to get solved over 6 weeks, you know, or 3 or 4 weeks, rather, or anything like that. But we did see improvements in his game at the end of the season as opposed to at the beginning of the season that may have worn down during the point of the playoffs. But none of those things seemed like the issues that the Saints faced in their game against Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Ross, you and I spoke after that game against Carolina. Drew looked awesome. I mean, the offense, they played literally with the practice squad, right? And the offense looked like it didn't miss a beat. He was on point. That's why I keep bringing up, that's what happens when you play with father time, man. I mean, it's just, one day you'll have it, the next day it's just not there. And he just, that. But I think in that game, Ross, it was simple. And it's the thing I let off the show with on Monday. They had a player in Devin White who single-handedly impacted the game. He took out Harris. He was peeling Kamara. He had 10 solo, 11 total tackles. He felt like he was all over the field, and he had a pick. One player impacted that game. The Saints, offensive and defensively, didn't have that. They didn't have that one player that you felt every other play you heard Aikman or Buck talking about, right? Harris was kind of at first, and Traquan could have been, but not to that level. Am I wrong on that?
No, not at all. I mean, and I think specifically over on the defensive side, which is where you really, you know, like the Saints didn't play terrible in defense. They only gave up 199 passing yards to Tom Brady. But the fact of the matter is that Tampa Bay had short fields to play with all game, and then they didn't have to throw the ball. They didn't have to do any of that in terms of picking up big yardage. So you wish to have seen maybe that impact player on the Saints defensive line, maybe that impact player in the Saints linebacking core that could have been that person that helped to, you know, defend those red zone possessions, which is where the Saints struggled all season. And I think you have one impact player that makes one or two big plays in the red zone for the Saints defense, mm-hmm. sort of like what you saw from Devin White all throughout the different areas of the field that he made his plays, then maybe you're talking about a little bit more of a game that didn't feel like it was over when the Saints were only down 10 points with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Speak with Ross Jackson, editor over at Saints Canal Street Chronicles, Locked On Saints at Ross Jackson NOLA. He's been joining us on Thursdays during the season. Is it just a larger issue and problem here? We had a caller earlier bring up the fact that Saints offense at when they lose the game in the postseason, because obviously they didn't get to the Super Bowl, the offense just hadn't looked like itself. I've brought up the fact they just didn't make enough plays. I mean, you had Bucks rookies making incredible, you know, stretchy arm receptions, and the rookie DB making the play on Cook, just things like that. What do you think is inhibiting this team to perform to its capability when it matters most?
Yeah, it's interesting to see those moments to where, you know, I think the word that has been used by the Saints offense and just by each of the playoff appearances over the last 4 years is flat. And it's interesting to see that sort of lack of energy, that lack of, I don't want to call it lack of innovation, but the lack of execution that sure. we have seen sporadically throughout, not just through each season with the postseason, but we've also seen hiccups of that and moments of that all throughout the season. So we're having these same conversations about lack of execution and issues that they were having early on in the year, and then now we're having a conversation again here late in the year. And so I think that some of it has to come down to the amount of turnover within the offense all throughout the season. There wasn't really ever a consistent offensive unit that built any rhythm. You just saw them overcome that, mm-hmm. and unfortunately there just came a point to where they weren't able to overcome it any longer. I think that you saw a little bit of a defense that was very familiar with what the Saints can do comfortably, play well against that very aspect, sort of like what the Saints did to the Chicago Bears over on the defensive side, where they took away all the things that made Mitch Trubisky comfortable. The Bucs did a really good job taking away all the things that made Drew Brees comfortable, playing yeah. a lot of cover two man, keeping the safeties, you know, closer to the line of scrimmage, not being afraid of being attacked deep, all that. They did a very, very good job of that. They were very physical with the wide receivers. So I think there was a lot of those things that you can just sort of pile on and say, okay, when these things work, they work really well. So, you know, focusing on that was, you know, a good success in terms of limiting the Saints offseason, Saints offense at different points throughout the season.
All right, got 5 minutes here to remaining, so let's do rapid fire quickly, and then I'll get your thoughts on Sean. The rapid fire on some players that are possible free agents as to whether or not you bring back or not. Let's start with Marcus Williams. Yes or no, and why?
Yes, I think that he's one of the, especially with Dennis Allen not getting the job in Philadelphia, he's such a pivotal point to what that defense looks like that I think Dennis Allen in particular would be interested in keeping him around, although there is a really great rookie safety class coming in, but you're still having a roll of dice there.
Sheldon Rankins.
Tougher. I'll say yes if he's, you know, and a lot of these come with the caveat of what the contract looks like. I'm sorry, I'll say no, but a lot of these come with the caveat of what the contract looks like. I think David Onyemata is your best interior defensive lineman.
Okay.
You funneled resources into him. You have him. And again, you've kept Ryan Nielsen, who's done a really great job developing at that position. Not as much of a need as the importance of that safety position for me on the defensive side.
Trey Hendrickson.
Oh, as much as I would love to say yes, 13.5 sacks on the season, he's going to get paid somewhere else. So because of the price tag, I'll say no. Again, the caveat being if he's willing to take the team friendly deal.
This one's for Jordan, tight end Jared Cook.
Oh, that's a, yeah. Yeah, I think that's a no. I think Adam's probably future at the position. That's where they want to invest. And I think that's where you'll see them lean into next.
Okay. I think anyone else on that list is kind of, I mean, you got a lot of role players and things like that, but I think those are the names really that kind of stand out to me. Anybody else that you think would be a tough call?
Some of those special teams guys, JT Gray, Justin
right.
Hardy, maybe even Craig Robertson. I think that those would be the other names to watch out for because the Saints are always willing to invest in their specials.
He's on there, and I saved it last because I want to ask you this, and then we'll get into your thoughts on what Sean had to say, which had a lot to do with this. Jameis Winston.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, I think Jameis is probably the number one priority outside of maybe Marcus Williams, but I think because he's the most important position on the field for you, he'll be a top priority. It seems that there's already an understanding for the most part that he'll be
right.
back.
So it sounded like that, right? The way Sean talked about him. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like there's an understanding already. We're signing you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, with the he did a great podcast appearance over on the Huddle and Flow podcast with Steve Weiss and Jim Trotter, where he talked about the understanding with Jameis was that he was coming to New Orleans on the contract he was coming on, knowing that once Drew Brees retired, that he would get his opportunity. So even during the regular season, you could see some nods to that expectation. So I think they do expect him to be back next season, and I'm sure he's their number one priority.
Interesting. Got 2.5 left in the segment. What stood out to you with what Sean had to say today in almost about 40 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was a big part of it was, you know, the biggest takeaways for me really came down to the things that he had to say about, you know, I'm excited about Jameis Winston, and then I'm excited about Taysom Hill, them feeling very good about the players in the building. That's something that I'm really going to take away, too, him talking about feeling very good about the players in the building, because the Saints' M.O. doesn't look like it's going to change this offseason. The M.O. and their approach to the offseason has always been focus on retaining in-house free agents first, fill needs through free agency, go best player available in the draft. It sounds like if he's still saying things like, I'm feeling really good about the players that we have in the building, which he should, then that might still be the focus moving into the offseason here, unless something unexpected were to happen.
I like how you said that. It's true. It's something that they've done, right? Retain your best players, fill whatever little holes you need in free agency, and then best player available. And again, you don't have that many picks this year to do that. Mm-hmm. I would say something else that stood out to me, we can address this in the last 60 seconds here, Ross. He didn't sound as, and I don't think they would sound bum, but I didn't hear, we have a lot of questions to answer. Right. I didn't hear, you know, look, this could be a different year next year. I don't know. I have to sit with Mickey. He almost came across very confident of, guys, we're going to be back next year in this.
Yeah, there's very much an air of that. Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think that there's very much an air that this is a team that may look to retool at certain areas, but is not looking to rebuild at all going into next season. And they think they're going to be in a really great position to continue to be competitive. And so as a Saints fan, there's a lot of reasons to be excited about hearing that. It's also exciting not to hear him talking about, you know, sitting down watching Netflix and eating a gallon of ice cream a day too, right? Like, he sounds like he's ready to get back to work.
That's poor Jordan right now.
That was back in 2018. Sorry, Jordan.
Believe me, no, there's a lot of people that are a little upset here. It is what it is. Ross, we're going to keep you on, man, and keep chatting with you, obviously, throughout the offseason. And if there's that presser with Drew and the preview to the Super Bowl and all of that, man. So I'll be looking for my text. Always a pleasure. Thank you for your time on Thursdays here during the season, sir.
Absolutely, my friend. Always a pleasure. Looking forward to being back with you. I'm sure we'll be talking, of course, off the air as well. So I appreciate you, man, as always. Thanks for joining everybody at the station.
Thank you. At Ross Jackson Nola, great stuff. Editor over at Canal Street Chronicles, Locked On Saints. Go give a listen and a view. When we come back, John DeShazer. He's got work to do tonight. Pels and Jazz, the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with Geico, we hired a soap opera star.
Gracious me, my car has storm damage and I've had to file a claim. Could it possibly get worse? Will my claims team leave me for someone else? Someone less intense?
No. Actually, when you file a claim with Geico, you get your own dedicated claims team who promises to stay with you throughout the process.
Oh, I've never known such loyalty. I can't wait for the second season.
Geico, great service without all the drama.
Mornings on ESPN Radio from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
That's what we get for hiring a dude that doesn't understand what being a Trojan is all about.
To Greeny with Mike Greenberg.
It is so clear to everyone but the one person who can do something about it.
Opinions, analysis, and the biggest names in sports.
That's real talk, though.
Get him, Key.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin at 6 Eastern.
I'm here to tell you you're wrong.
Followed by Greeny at 10 Eastern. It's your weekday mornings on ESPN Radio.
Hindsight is 2020, and 2020 was a brutal year that for most of it felt out of control. But you know how you can be in control? You can be in control of your job. Your career, yes. In 2020, my computer career helped more people start IT careers than ever. Don't look back with 2020 hindsight next year and see yourself in that 2020 job. Take control. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Ramsey's will sell you a 2-carat diamond.
That's big.
For just $6,495.
$6,495, 2 carats.
You can choose between a 2-carat diamond from a diamond mine
or a 2-carat created diamond.
Compare them side by side, then make your choice.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers.
Think you're dealing with drug poisoning, chemical poisoning, food poisoning? Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. We are your home for Pelicans basketball tonight. Pels and Gens, game 2. Almost like a little mini playoff series here. 9 p.m., 8:30 pregame. You can join John DeShazer and Todd Graffinini along with Daniel Salerson on the call. JD joins us here to talk a little about this game and the rest of the NBA. Sir, how are you?
I'm great, Ken. How you doing?
Doing good. Okay, I lied. Before I did that, you've covered the Saints here as well throughout the season. Just your overall thoughts on what you heard from head coach Sean Payton, man. I heard him talk a lot about the QBs, but also I didn't hear a coach that was kind of sounded like, I don't know what's coming next year. We got a lot of questions and answers, and he seemed confident that they're still going to be a good team. Did you get that sense and vibe, man, in the about 40 minutes of talk that he had?
Yeah, I mean, because why wouldn't you? I mean, think about it. The low water mark under Sean Payton has been 7-9. And you know, granted, you know, that's not what anyone wants, but that's been the low water mark. The high water mark, obviously, you know, Super Bowl or, you know, 10, 12 win seasons and that kind of thing. So, you know, if I'm him, considering the nucleus that's under contract, and I mean the mix of young guys and veteran guys, you got to feel pretty good. I mean, yeah, you got to, you know, if, you know, there might be a situation that comes up, the quarterback, we aren't exactly sure yet, but we think we know which way that's going. But even if it, you know, even if it does, they've proven that they can win games, you know, different ways. So, you know, if I'm him, yeah, you feel pretty good right now.
Yeah, man, it's tough. It was tough seeing what you saw on Sunday. Look, you've covered the Saints, man, as long as I can remember since I've known you, John. Look, we don't know for official, but, you know, we saw what we saw at the end of the game and then for 2.5 hours after that. Can you even try to put into words, and I know that was your gig, man, being a writer, of what the importance of Drew Brees meant to this organization?
No, not really. I mean, you think about it. I mean, you're talking about, you know, unequivocally the best player in franchise history, the best free agent signing in franchise history, you know, arguably the best leader in franchise history. We're talking about one of the top players in NFL history. And so he's meant so much to the franchise and to the city. I mean, when I mentioned those 7-9 seasons, you think about it, you know, Drew Brees was probably the only reason worth watching those years.
5,000-yard seasons.
Yeah, I mean, 5,000-yard seasons and basically, you know, had to almost play perfect. I mean, you know, that was when the offense had to put up, you know, 31-35 for the team to have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And he was consistently helping this team put up that 31-35. So, you know, when you're talking about, you know, all of that and then you mix in, you know, what he's meant to the community off the field, I just don't know how you encapsulate what he's meant to the franchise. I mean, he's essentially been everything. And when he does step away, I mean, you're talking about not just the void on the field. You're talking about the void in the community, the void nationally, because everybody knows Drew Brees. Everybody knows what he's meant to this team. Mm-hmm. This team, even when it was bad, G-Cat, was on Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football. Why? Because of Drew Brees.
Yep.
So, you know, those kinds of things you can't quantify when you're talking about, you know, when he's not going to be around. Those are things that, you know, everybody notices.
Senior writer for NewOrleansSaints.com and Pelicans radio color analyst, Mr. John DeShazer, at John DeShazer, the follow on Twitter. I bring that up and I went there before we went to Pels because there is kind of a correlation to it from this aspect of it. you draft a guy like Zion, and there's a lot of expectation level, and obviously because of him last year and this year, there are a lot of Pels games on national TV. John, we're going to get to the team here and where they are and why, sort of like I asked you with Sean Payton on, you know what, listen to how he's talking, and maybe there's hope for you Saints fans. Don't get so down, because I feel like that if I'm a Pels fan as well. I'm only two games out of the eighth spot going into tonight's game, and Zion, JD, the guy is balling. In the last five games, the numbers have gotten better. And dare I say, I'm starting to see a little Duke Zion, man, where he gets the ball. There's an open paint. Guys are moving out the way for him.
Yeah, nobody wants to be in front of that 284. I'm coming down the lane. And the thing is, and Graf and I were talking about it the other night, you know, he's the way he's able to deftly get to his left hand. He's left-handed. He likes to go left. Mm-hmm. He always is going left. But the way he's able to manufacture his way into getting to his left is becoming more and more impressive, because if I'm a defensive player, of course I want to see if he can go right. I want to make him drive right. I want to make him go to his right. And I'm sure that's mentally what's in people's heads, and yet he's still able to get back to his left. And to do it against a Utah team where Rudy Gobert is guarding him for a good majority of that game. Rudy Gobert, if folks don't know, is one of the elite shot blockers in the NBA. And so to be able to do it against him shows you the kind of guy Zion is. You mentioned the last five games, man. He's turned it around. And I think the thing that I like the most about it, not just the domination, but he's making free throws, because he is going to be a critical part of what this team does. And if you're in close games down the stretch and your best player or players can't make foul shots, mm-hmm. you're at a deficit. I mean, you know, you can just play hack of Zion and watch him go up there and miss, you know, 6 out of 10 or 5 out of 10. And defensively, you win. You feel pretty good about that. But if he can make, you know, 7 out of 10, if he can make, you know, 72%, 68%, now all of a sudden that strategy can kind of go out the window, and you can just play ball and you can rely on him in those clutch moments. So that's one of the things that I've liked the most about him, is that he's making his free throws. Because the other stuff, he's going to be dominant on the post. He's been at his whole life. He knows how to do that. Once he develops the little mid-range jumper, that'll be another thing. But right now, you know, you're taking in increments. And if he's doing his thing on the post and he's making free throws, then he's an absolute beast.
Pels take on the Jazz tonight, 9 o'clock here on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. You know, it was interesting in game one back on Tuesday between these two teams. He didn't have a free throw until the third quarter, which is remarkable when he was getting hit and everything. It's like, come on, guys, because, you know, you watched the game last night, Marcus Smart and Joel Embiid. He's like, man, that's just, that's some, you know what, cheating over there. But, look, you add him. I love what I've seen Steven Adams do, and I'm sure you did a preview piece and you were looking at this. Did you think he'd be this impactful for this team?
Yeah, if there was tampering in NBA for broadcasters, me and my old partner Sean Kelly committed it several times, because mm-hmm. we would always like openly lust for Steven Adams. Just saying, you know, if you can get a guy like that who's that tough, mm-hmm. who you don't have to like run any offense for, who just does all the dirt stuff. You know, if you can get a guy like that that adds that toughness and that edge to your team, what kind of a benefit it would be? You know, Pels don't run anything for Steven Adams, man. Steven Adams goes out there, sets screens, and when he sets a screen, you, my friend, have been screened. You don't get through that Steven Adams stuff, okay? You know, when people come off Steven Adams' screen, they're butt naked open, wide open. And so, you know, you add that element, and then he crashes the offensive boards. He just does all the little stuff, rotating defensively, talking defensively, all the stuff that, you know, isn't glamorous, but you can't win without it. You can't win consistently without that kind of a guy. He's the Pelican. He's the Draymond Green, you know, that kind of thing. You know, now Draymond can step out and make some threes. He'll be a playmaker and stuff. Right. But, you know, he's that kind of a guy. I think charismatic when you add him to your team, and he gives you that just tough physical edge. I don't know if the Pelicans have had a physical presence like that since maybe David West. You know, to be honest with you, I don't know if they had a dude who, you know, if there was a fight that busted out, you know, you could all jump behind Steven Adams and say, okay, go get him. You know, he's that kind of guy. And I'm telling you, me and Sean Kelly used to always say, man, if we could just get Steven Adams around here, man, if we could just get a dude like that. And so now you have him, and I'm as impressed seeing him in person as I was lusting after him when he was at OKC.
And John, that kind of brings up to a point here. You've got about 3.5 more minutes, but I mean, it's, he's played well. Zion's played well. I love the tweets and the, you know, the analysis. He's slipping a little bit. He's still averaging over 20 points because he just started so well. And that's the thing. John, let's just close out with the obvious here. The guards have got to play better, right? And that's the bench guards, the starting guards, you name it, the 3-point shot. That's the difference. And you say it all the time in a broadcast with the graph, man. I can close my eyes and hear your voice. It's a make or miss league. You have to make it. When they're making threes and you're not, it's going to be hard. It's just as simple as that. You have 3 of 5 guys that are bringing it every night. The other guys have to step up.
Yeah. Utah made 21 of 47 threes the other night. The Pels made 6 of 26. You see that kind of discrepancy. And I don't want to say there's no way you can win the game, but it's going to be pretty hard. It's going to be real hard. You're going to have to just about be perfect everywhere else because of the pressure that's applied by that kind of a deficit. And we're seeing it, you know, unfortunately, we've seen it too often for the Pels this season where the opponent's making threes, the Pels aren't making threes. And man, it's no more basic than a make or miss league. I mean, you know, the bottom line, the objective in basketball still is to put the ball in the hoop more than the other team. And if you can't do it, man, it's just, you know, it's really, really hard to do. Now, some of that might be offset by, you know, you mentioned Brandon Ingram, and I love B.I., and I'd like to see B.I. be more greedy, to be honest with you. I think he's a great teammate from that standpoint where he's, mm-hmm. you know, he makes the right basketball play. You know, we always have said that about LeBron James. Guy makes the right basketball play. But sometimes a bad shot by Brandon Ingram might be better than a good shot from someone else, if that makes sense. You know, I want to see him sometimes be a little bit more greedy, a little bit more mean, a little bit more selfish, because he's got those kinds of offensive skills. He's got the kind of skills where, mm-hmm. you know, he can just start pouring in buckets and pouring in buckets. He averaged 35 on Utah last year. 35.
Right.
And he can do that against just about anyone because there aren't a lot of people in the NBA. You can probably count them on 2-3 fingers who might be able to guard Brandon Ingram. So he gives you that kind of a bounce, and I'd like to see him be a little bit more aggressive beyond.
All right, final question for you, John DeShazer. He and Todd Graffanini will have the call for you tonight at 9. Last night, Nets and Cavs, Durant, 38, Kyrie, 37, Harden, 21. They lost, 147-35. If it can happen there, it can happen in Salt Lake City, J.D.
Well, you know, that team didn't defend at all. That's why they lost. I mean, Colin Sexton cooked them. That's why they got beat. Colin Sexton put all of them on the griddle like at Waffle House and flipped them and scattered them and smothered them.
42 for him. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're not going to defend, if you ain't going to defend the fence post, you deserve to lose. So, you know, unfortunately, Utah defends. Now, if the Pels shoot it well, then, you know, everything opens up. You know, and that's what it comes down to. But, I mean, that Nets team, they got a lot of people who can score, but they don't guard anybody. And they're probably not going to be inclined to guard anybody. They're going to be like the old Denver Nuggets of the ABA, mm-hmm. where, you know, you're trying to win 158 to 153, and you might be able to get away with that some in the regular season. But let me tell you, when it slows down in the postseason and gets a little bit more physical, it's going to be a lot harder to win that way.
JD, as we say goodbye to you, all those people that listen to the Pels games and go, what about the Pels bench? Let me give you this stat, 10 points. That's all the Nets bench gave them last night, 10. Ooh. Out of 135, 10. So that ought to tell you it's not just the Pels that aren't getting the bench. 10 out of 135. John, thank you so much, man. Looking forward to chatting with you throughout the rest of the season, man.
I appreciate it, Cat.
There he goes. Daniel Salas here will tip things off coming up at 8:30. Pelicans won 10. 10 points from 135 coming off the bench, Jordan. Think of that. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Join us for the Start of Something New sales event going on now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat in Houma. You can get a great deal on a Ram today. Check out all of their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram trucker van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
It was 1972, and in Miami, the Dolphins went undefeated. In New York City, disco was just getting started.
And in Houma, the Foster family opened their Terminex business to help protect the good folks of South Louisiana from nasty pests. When you want to sock it to those nasty roaches, termites, and rodents, you want the local pros from Terminex on your side.
So call those Bayou boys. They'll get you Terminex tough.
When you need health-related answers quickly, you want the fastest, safest results possible. That's why Terrebonne General Medical Center is the only facility in the state to offer the new GE Revolution Frontier Gen 2 CT scanner. This breakthrough technology presents medical professionals with the clearest images on the market while keeping patients safe and comfortable. To learn more about how TGMC is on the leading edge of healthcare, please visit TGMC.com.
Mornings on ESPN Radio from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
That's what we get for hiring a dude that doesn't understand what being a Trojan is all about.
The Greeny with Mike Greenberg.
It is so clear to everyone but the one person who can do something about it.
Opinions, analysis, and the biggest names in sports.
That's real talk, though.
Get him, Key.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin at 6 Eastern.
I'm here to tell you you're wrong.
Followed by Greeny at 10 Eastern. It's your weekday mornings on ESPN Radio.
Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Now, Jordan, head coach Sean Payton is not the only one that has more questions than answers right now. He's got to figure it out. I got a MacBook on the way.
Oh my God.
I mean, you know, they took away my USB ports. Now I got to think of what I mean, this doggle and that doggle.
Poor thing.
I don't know if I got to wait. Can't wait to get it.
You're like a kid.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait to get it. I'm going to find a way to use that touch bar. A one-touch button. Way
you're going to break it.
To give you like a one-finger emoji. I'm going to find a way to make that a shortcut.
You're going to break it.
Just for that. Just going to do that.
You're going to press down on it too hard.
Hey, Siri, send Jordan the one-finger emoji. Oh, my phone just turned on. Oh, look. Look, I can send you one. Yes, send. Let's see if that actually happens. Let's see. I didn't even know if I could do that because the whole new world just opened up.
You didn't know you could ask Siri?
But did it send you a one finger emoji?
No, it says the one finger emoji.
Oh, now if it would have sent you the emoji with the one finger, a whole new world would have opened up to me. I'm just saying.
Jesus,
it's the small things that make me happy. All right,
you probably could have a shortcut.
I'm sure somebody figured that out. By the way, Brennan. Chimed in, Mr. Brennan Mathern. Did you call the Minotaur a matador?
Did I call him a matador? I might have.
Two completely different things.
Yes.
Yeah.
One is in the with the red cape bull.
That would be the
matador.
Matador and a Minotaur.
The Minotaur is the thing in the labyrinth. The bull and half bull, half man.
Okay. There we go. Okay. In case you're just tuning in and wondering, what in the world are you talking about? Top of the 1 o'clock hour here. I thank Jordan for cutting Sean Payton, which we're going to hear from here on out. I got no guests the rest of the way. So if you're a Saints fan, I'm going to play coach from here on out. In between sound bites, you want to comment on what you're hearing? It's open for you. And we'll comment, obviously, on what he had to say. But I thanked you for cutting that so quickly.
Yes.
Because he literally wrapped up at 12:40 and we had it at the next segment. So thank you. But I also was interested because today is your first day of school again for the semester.
Why you sound hesitant when you say it? Like you're going to trigger me or something.
I'm not. I'm letting people know there's going to be some days of the week we don't see you now because of Tuesdays and Thursdays. Yeah. You might be over here, over there, over somewhere, reportedly.
I should be here Thursdays, but
well, we don't know.
But we don't know. Right. But I should be here Thursday.
You warned me, you may or may not. So I'm just, you know.
I'm here today, and it's Thursday.
I'm making sure. So I was thanking you for that, and then I asked you your class load.
My class.
You know, because French and mathematics, for some reason, you take way too many semesters for a communication degree. But I asked your class load this year, and you said you had five classes.
Five classes, 15 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And two that are in class that I have to be there for. Mm-hmm. And four of them are communication classes that go, you know.
And that, the one class that's on not a communication class
is mythology, Greek and Roman mythology.
Yeah, and Club of Lang had a soundbite of prediction for you.
What's your prediction for the fight then?
Prediction?
Yes, prediction.
Pain. Hey.
I don't think it's going to be hard.
From what I've heard, it's easy.
Right, hold on. What was that? 152?
Actually, it's going on. It's going on the. Okay, it's going on a sticky note.
It is on a sticky note. 153. We've turned to 1:53 p.m. 121:21.
Jordan's first day of school. Back to college.
Quote: I don't think it's going to be difficult. Is that what you just said?
I don't think it's going to be difficult.
Okay.
Hey.
I've taken mythology. Good luck with that.
And then whenever the class is over, I will come back with the grade.
When the semester is done, we'll come back. Now, you got a top. See, I think you got a top. You think you don't.
You got a top?
Yes, you got a top the 17.
Oh, like make it worse or like?
Well, yeah, you got to top it. I mean, you got a 17 on a test last year.
Yeah, math test, and I wind up passing the course.
I don't know how. Like, statistically, somebody needs to explain to me how you can get a 17 and still pass the class. What was your final grade on that?
Well, it was passing. It was like a very low D.
But you passed.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, like, you must have battled.
I did. I had to get like hundreds on all my quizzes and all
laughing
my
at you.
Homeworks.
I remember you calling. You looked so pale. You were like, I did horribly.
I messed up.
No, yeah. I mean, you thought, when I saw you that day in studio, you brought up your test.
Well, it wasn't as bad as the one.
You were not happy.
It wasn't as bad as the one guy
that
said. And
then the day after that, you came back and said, I've been talking to people there. They also think they did that. Yes. Like the entire class.
One person put in our little group me. I got lower than what I paid to be proctored.
Wow. How much do you proctor?
Well, I guess I did too because it's like $20.
$20.
And they really.
I did ask you this, and you never did help me this. I could use some spare change. I got to go to Disney World in a couple of
months. You could find out the information.
I just want you to find that out for me. How do I proctor a test? Because this seems like an absolute cash money scheme here. What do I do again? What do I do?
You literally open up the.
Yeah.
Open up the computer.
Okay. I don't give the test. No, somebody already made the test.
They don't even. The student doesn't even see.
Me.
The proctor.
Which is incredible. So
but
I could
be doing.
The proctor
can see you.
So I could be doing the show.
Yes.
Watching people like you take a test.
Yes, you can put yourself on mute.
And every now and then I just go, I just kind of look like that. I got to make sure they're not, what, cheating?
Yeah. But that's I don't even think half the time they're
and
looking
I get
at
20
it.
From each student?
Well, it probably goes to. Some of it goes to obvious
saying,
proctor you.
Somebody please send me the link on how to do this because that sounds like at least.
It's a scam.
Lunch.
It's a
at
scam.
Magic Kingdom.
It's a scam.
Because Magic Kingdom lunch, it's about $1.50, isn't it?
Pay for school and then I have to pay for
a burger's $20. That's incredible, by the way. You got to pay somebody
Mind
to
you,
make sure you don't cheat.
Yeah. Was it my fault that we moved to online? I will take your money. Anyway.
Could you just find me the link, please? Just
go to Proctor U.
Find me the link. That's
literally the name, Proctor U.
Proctor U?
Yeah, like Proctor University.
Why am I just learning about this?
Proctor something, all right.
I feel like a proctor every day. I got to keep an eye on you. Make sure you provide.
Oh, you know what? You know what another communication class is?
What's
that?
Taking?
It's actually this.
This?
It's this.
This show is a class?
This is basically a class.
Am I your teacher then? Do I have to provide a grade?
No, I just have to. I just have to give updates.
I will outsource the grade to our listeners. I will let listeners grade you.
I don't think that's your job.
You just kind of made it my job. What grade would you give Jordan? How many tests do you take a semester? Four? Three? Two?
No. There's like midterm and final.
That's it? Just two tests?
Yeah, free.
Nah,
tests.
Not in this class. Not
you don't
this
get
class.
To decide that.
Weekly. Huh, buddy? I think weekly. And I'm going to go with a pop quiz sort of
you
thing.
You don't get.
You don't know you when.
Don't, I have
it
a
could
teacher
be a Wednesday.
That.
It
I have
could
a
be
teacher
a Friday.
For my internship class.
It could be a Friday. Well, somebody needs to report to her.
Yeah, me.
And I'm going to take that responsibility. And I will let listeners grade you by the week. At week's end, how did Jordan do? And then I will put in a nice
I don't like this
professional
idea.
Looking email, right? I'll have like my little signature on there and everything. It shows I'm the show host and all. And I will say to their teacher, the listeners this week felt that Jordan provided this level of grade.
I thought you were going to go with something else.
No, I see you don't have confidence in yourself.
No, I do.
I'm not the one grading you. I'll just provide the tests.
Again,
that's all.
Again, you don't have the ability to do
no,
that.
No, I can. Yeah, I do. I'm the show host. This is going to be a lot of fun. I'm so excited you're back in school. I've never been a teacher before. This is fun.
You're not a teacher.
No, I am. I am. I'm an instructor, right? I'm the instructor in this class.
Nope.
Is that what
you're
I
not.
Am? Nope.
If anything.
Why don't you call me Mr. Cattingill?
No.
How about
actually,
that?
You're,
for the rest of the semester.
You're basically the student also.
What's my name again?
Gus Cattingill.
Mr. Cattingill. Mr. Cattingill.
Nope, not happening.
Hour 3, we'll start with head coach Sean Payton.